Welcome to Passion and Purpose with Pamela, celebrating all things woman. I'm Dr. Pamela Hardy Shepherd, here to ignite inspiration through conversations that spotlight women's power and their journeys. Let's share our light, our stories, and create a space of celebration for every woman. Here's to embracing our womanhood together.
Welcome to another inspiring episode of Passion and Purpose with Pamela. Today, we're diving into business leadership, team development, and people-centered growth with a dynamic guest, Alexis Bondrowski. Alexis is a business coach and a management consultant passionate about helping business owners build thrive people-centered teams. With over 14 years of experience in people processes, company culture, and team development, she brings a compassionate, innovative approach to solving complex business challenges. Her deep expertise comes from years of hands-on experience, refining processes, building strong teams, and creating sustainable systems that drive business success and employee well-being. Alexis is especially dedicated to supporting women entrepreneurs, helping them simplify training, fostering inclusive workplaces, and implementing strategies that promote growth and stability. Beyond her work, Alexis is a committed volunteer and a long-life learner. She always stays ahead of the curve when it comes to hiring trends and workplace culture and evolving nature of business. She envisions a world where business owners can quickly and confidently realize their dreams. Join us for this insightful conversation as Alexis shares her wisdom on building impactful teams and cultivating a positive company culture and creating businesses that put people first. Artie, I have already introduced you, and I was wondering if you could tell the listening and the viewing audience just a little bit about you.
Sure. So my name is Alexis Bondrowski, and I am essentially an independent consultant for small businesses, and my demographics range, but generally I am in the business of making people's work life better. I do this sometimes through workshops, one-on-one sessions, it kind of varies, and I tailor my programs to my clients individually.
So how did you get into this? What led you here? Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, so I have been a lover of people and people processes for a very long time. And I was at one point, or multiple times actually, in my professional working career when I worked for other people, I was director of operations for different bar and restaurant groups. And there I was responsible to ultimately drive the business forward by hiring, training the employees as well as the management team. And in this quest for a work culture that I could be proud of and my team could be proud of, I really started studying what motivated people to come to work and what we as business owners had control over.
I love that. So what were the dynamics? What motivated people to come to work? What did you find?
Well, I found, so the businesses that I typically was running at the time, like I said, were bars, restaurants, breweries, service-based industries. And sometimes it can be hard for the business owner to control the flow of human traffic coming in, you know, the actual humans coming in your door, and foot traffic, things of that nature. And so we couldn't always guarantee how much somebody was going to make. And even though finances are a large driver, what we found was participation and accountability were very high on the list of motivators, and accountability from every facet, from employee to employee level, employee to management level, and vice versa. They had to feel that they were a part of something, but also that we as the management team were participating equally.
I love that, because people don't always come to work for money. They come to work to feel connected. And that is a powerful thing that you said. You know, You have extensive experience in people processes and company culture. How have you seen these elements evolve over the years, especially in the context of small businesses and women entrepreneurs?
So, it's kind of funny because I feel, and I'm sure most this resonates with most people, there's sort of the pre-COVID world, the during COVID world, and the post-COVID world. And it's really almost broken up into three categories of what we feel our business life or professional life represents. And so where we are now in the post-COVID world is very interesting because I think women business owners and entrepreneurs very much want to listen to their employees and to the community around them. And there is a lot more room to hear people. And as business owners in general, people have realized that the post-COVID world, the employees come to work for very different reasons. And a lot of people came back from COVID burned out, and staying engaged is something that a lot of people, a lot of business owners are finding difficulties with as far as keeping their team engaged and finding reasons to sort of finding ways to weave them into their company culture and keep them engaged at the same time.
Wow. You wouldn't really think that, but that is difficult because, to your point, people do come to work for different reasons. And
Right.
you would think after COVID, people would want to engage with others because they've been so isolated.
Right.
I find that really interesting. Wow. And so I know you have an expertise with a multiplicity of things, but I know that one of your focus were women entrepreneurs. And how do they differ from just the general run-of-the-mill? How do women,
Sure.
explain that
Yeah, so I'm going to make some generalizations here.
one.
So if there's any male listeners or viewers, this is not meant to disparage really anybody. But in my line of work, I do a lot of networking, I do a lot of collaborating, and I meet a lot of people. And the women business owners or decision makers, maybe they don't own the business, but they make decisions for the business, often will ask a lot of questions. And what I'm finding is they are more likely to actually invest in their team than the male business owners. And this is sort of what I mean about it's almost like a new movement of collaboration because women are collaborators and we do feel that we can collectively come up with answers or solutions. And I have primarily worked the bar world, like many industries, are very male dominated.
Yes.
So now that I'm out as a business owner seeking to help other businesses, what I have further realized is the people who want to learn and invest not only in their teams but grow with their teams, those people who are most interested are almost always women.
Wow. Well, say for instance, I am a woman and I want to start a business. I want to be an entrepreneur. What do I do first? I'm not asking you how to start the business, but in the interim, all of the intangible things, there's a lot of tangible things that I have to do, but what are the ten things that I can't touch? What are the things
Sure.
I should be looking for?
So the thing about being an entrepreneur is it is an emotional roller coaster, and any business owner or entrepreneur will tell you that. One minute you are flying high and you are thinking, I've got this whole thing figured out. I've got clients or customers coming in. And then 2 weeks later, you can feel very isolated because you're your only person. So I think it's incredibly important for people to distinguish just because you are good at something doesn't mean that that is your purpose in life. I can be very good at a lot of things. But I also have to be very good and passionate about the thing that I'm going to dedicate my life and my time to, because there will be times throughout this journey that you feel disheartened. But the thing that keeps you going is that passion and inspiration of which you started this business in the first place.
I love that. I love that. It is so true. I was in a program and it was with a lot of entrepreneurs. It was a lot of individuals who had MDs, PhDs. They had every kind of D you could imagine. But the one thing they didn't learn in school was how to take what they do well and what they have passion for
Yes.
and actually implement it into something that would generate monies for them and love what they're doing. And it's like, you are starting at ground zero. So it's like, how do
Yes.
you do this? And you said something earlier about collaboration and how women collaborate together. Could you speak a little more about that? Because I think that's really powerful in terms of how we can collaborate with one another.
Yes. So I feel truly in this day and age, in the year that we are in, that collaboration rules over competition. And when I was sort of coming up in the industry and in my career, there was a lot of competition. And again, I worked primarily in male-dominated industries, so you are by default part of, like, you are naturally feeling that these people are your competitors because they almost won't see you any differently, right? And what I see now is this idea of competition, I don't really see it existing any longer within this demographic of people because we all realize that there's enough business to go around. People are letting go of that scarcity mindset of, I have, there's only X amount of clients. That's not true. You're an individual. They are going to choose to work with you for very different reasons, and they choose to work for someone with someone else. And that when we pair up our talents, we actually have a tremendous amount to offer people.
That's right. I'm over here just almost falling out of my chair because you said there is enough to go around for everyone. And
Yes.
if you could talk about mindset, because some people have a lack or a scarcity mindset, and
Sure.
mindset is so imperative that you have a growth mindset. And if you could
Right.
talk about that a little bit, I love it. Oh my goodness.
Sure. So, I feel like it's not uncommon for, we live in a very a day and age where we can feel like we're not doing enough, and we can, the what do they say? Comparison is the thief of joy.
Yes.
And due to social media, we can compare ourselves to this idea that somebody has very thoughtfully crafted to promote. And so when we start comparing ourselves, we make ourselves feel small. And when we feel small, we think that there isn't enough. Nobody even had to do that to us. We did it to ourselves by making ourselves think that I'm small, I have to fight for what I have, no one's going to give it to me, and then you start getting in this mindset of, again, this is no longer collaborative, right? I have to fight for everything that I get. And there's a huge difference between hustling and fighting.
Yes.
When you're an entrepreneur, you do have to hustle for your dollar. You have to be proactive. But that doesn't mean that there's only one client out there that's going to pay me for my services.
It is so true. And you explained it so eloquently. It is, yes, you have to be proactive. Yes, you do have to hustle, but everybody isn't your competition.
Right.
I love that. I love that because people really, really, really need to hear that in this time. And
Right.
so I'm really thinking about, I know none of us know the future, but where do you see small businesses, women entrepreneur or led organizations? Where do you see that for the future? Where do we go for the next 3 to 5 years?
Sure. So honestly, thinking about the future is really what has led me to start the business that I have, right? Because my love is in, first of all, customer service-based business. I love the human-to-human interaction, however that may look. And when we, to me, it feels very eerily similar to 2020, honestly, where we're at right now, at in this moment of time, where there are the feelings of turbulence, the feelings of insecurity, the feelings of lack of stability. And this goes back to mindset. If we allow the outside idea of turbulence to affect our center and to affect our balance, we're going to make reactive decisions. And when we make reactive decisions, it's not with our heart. We're doing this out of fear. And when we make fear-based decisions, this is not the best for our business. It's not the best for our clients. And it's not the best to create, it's not the best time to create partnerships that are long-lasting for your collaborations. And so I feel like the people and businesses who remain centered and remember that we are stronger together and they're cross-promoting each other, that are working together to, build community, that are complementing each other, those com that combination is what is going to allow you to persist and progress past this feeling of discomfort. Now, the people who make reactive decisions, the people who are allowing everything around them to dictate how they run their business, the people who will not invest in their business or their employees or themselves out of fear, I unfortunately think that they're not going to last, past the period of time that we're in.
Wow. I would ask you if you could give me an example of you going into an organization and what would you do first? What is the first thing you're looking for? Who
Sure.
you talk to assist them? Say I want to, let me give some context. Maybe, I'm brand new. I'm a brand new entrepreneur. I really don't know what I'm doing. And so I know I have this great idea and I want to be able to help people. However, what do I do? You talked about mindset, collaboration. So where do I go from here? What would you go in and help that individual kind of bring their concept and their idea and their business together?
Sure. And I'm going to answer this two ways.
Okay.
So the first way is if you are an individual who is seeking to become an entrepreneur, who is seeking to start their own business, I do go back to the original statement of needing to be very clear on what you're both passionate and good at. And the thing that most people really overlook, whether you're just starting or you've been in it for a long time, people underestimate the importance of a very solid foundation. And you have to be able to build on something. Aside from having to have finances, because let's be honest, being an entrepreneur is it's not only emotionally turbulent, it's financially turbulent as well. You have to be good with your numbers and you have to be at a starting point where you feel that I can either do this full time, or be realistic with yourself about the amount of capacity you have to start creating the business and what it would look like for you to leave your full-time job to eventually go work that full-time to work your business, if that's your goal. Some people might just be looking for, to be a part-time entrepreneur. And truly, there's nothing wrong with that, right? You're still living a dream. You're still creating your own income to a degree, and you're still doing something that you love, but you have the safety of a paycheck. So that's my first way to answer. Now, my second way to answer is I have recently, over the last, I'll say 6 months-ish, focused in on helping employers attract, train, and hire their ideal employees. So actually attract, hire, and train. Because what I'm noticing again about this time, how it's so similar to 2020. We need to be equipping independently owned businesses with a foundation that they can last and that they are not feeling this turbulence. And a lot of small business owners have built as they went, but that often means they neglected building that foundation in the first place. And so if we don't have consistent service, if we don't have consistent expectations, if we're not hiring with intention, what is going to happen is these people are not going to see their business progress in the next 4 years.
Oh wow, that is awesome because foundational things are so
Right.
incredibly important. And you said with intention. And
Yes.
when you said about attracting people, the right kind of people that are going to
Yes.
stay, that's going to promote your business. Because honestly, over the years, I've seen businesses, it's like, why are they even in business? It's like the people
Yes.
that come to work do not want to be there. And it's
Right.
like customer service for me is so very important. And if
Yes.
you put it at the front, and you may be the most wonderful entrepreneur, but I come into your place of business and your people are sitting around like, here you go. It's like,
Right.
oh. And I'll often think about, I always would tell my students, I'd say, so you're going to get some food and you're going to go to Kentucky Fried Chicken, and the woman's leaning on the counter, can I help you? Well, I don't want your chicken. I don't want anything
Right.
that you have to offer. So that first person, that interaction is so imperative. And I
Yes.
love that you say hire with intention.
Yes.
That is so important. And
Because what we don't want to do is we don't want to hire to fill a gap,
yeah.
right? We want to hire somebody that's going to be long term. And even to go back to your, KFC reference, small businesses spend so much money and time on marketing. You spend all of this energy, whether it's financial or otherwise, to bring new humans in the door. If these new humans do not have an extraordinary experience, you just wasted not only that energy and that money on marketing, you also wasted money on labor.
Wow, that's an excellent point. That is so excellent. I was wondering if you could share a story from your experience where a business or entrepreneur was able to overcome a major challenge by focusing on creating strong people first company culture.
Sure. So I'll use a more recent experience where I was working with a business owner that has been in business for a long while, and she had a very great training manual, which a lot of businesses don't have. It was very clear, and I thought, wow, this is very impressive how detail-oriented it is. It very much speaks to your company culture. And yet, the employees at that time were very underwhelming. And so we had to go all the way back to what does your ad look like? How are we casting this net to attract these people? And so we had to basically redo the entire onboarding process, minus portions of the training manual that she had already had. And so that included redoing the ad. Coaching her up on the interview skills and how to ask deeper questions, reevaluating what the training period actually looked like. And so after we did that overhaul, the employees that she ended up bringing on were exponentially better than the people that she had had prior.
That's incredible. And that does make a difference. And I just want you just to think of anything. I mean, outside of women entrepreneurs, are there other business examples that you have that you could provide without, giving any information away? But I mean, just
Sure.
something that's on your in your mind or some experience that you had, because everybody doesn't work in that kind of organization. They may work in a different organization, and if you could speak to that, that would be great.
Sure. And so even if you are on, let's say, an employee level hoping to launch your business, or you're new to entrepreneurship, a system that is very overlooked is your time management. And so many days and weeks go by, we are overtasking ourselves and we're not really giving ourselves benchmarks for success. And when we dial in, when we get very focused on how we're spending our time, what this time is contributing to, are we actually making a sale? Is this going to lead to sales? For me, everything goes back to sales because that's the only way we can stay in business. And when I realize that people are floundering if you know this can very much be a consistent thing that will come up amongst many people, either solopreneurs or otherwise. When we dial in and I have them be intentional and start keeping track, like a time log, basically, when they start very clearly watching where their time goes, it's like being on a diet, right? If
Yes.
you're tracking calories, you can see where you're spending them. Your time is no different.
Most people don't even consider that. And this is what I think about a lot of times. When you work for someone, you'll go to work sick, you'll go do all these things. But when we
Yes.
become an entrepreneur, and to your point about the time management is so important. And how do you coach somebody who really isn't the best at their time management? How do you help them to do better?
So I get pretty specific when it comes to time management, and it's basically it's almost like teaching somebody a brand new skill. And to your point about going to work when you're sick, when you have an employer, you can also go to work for an employer and waste 8 hours, right? And so if you already have a mindset as an employee of it doesn't matter what I do, right? I can waste 8 hours, I can waste 5 hours. How I spend my time is irrelevant. If you're not respecting your time as an employee, you're going to have a very difficult time being an entrepreneur because you're already in the habit of wasting time, right? But if you're an employee who it doesn't matter if I'm working for someone else, I'm taking this opportunity to learn. I'm taking this opportunity to do my best because for me, living and serving excellence is part of my ethics. So it doesn't matter if, you know, some people say act your wage. Well, my wage, my time is my wage, right? And my time is valuable to me. So it doesn't matter if I'm going to work for someone else or I'm working for myself, I'm giving it 110%.
I love that. I love that. Oh my goodness. You made me think of something, and then it said, went right out of my head.
Sure.
Oh, I know what I was going to ask you. Do you believe in Rich Dad Poor Dad? I know you're familiar with him, and he had these quadrants of who people were. Some are worker bees and some are entrepreneurs. Do you think that there are those who can be entrepreneurs and those who are worker bees? There's nothing wrong with either
Sure.
side, but there's other things to the quadrant. But those are the two that stand out to me.
Sure.
So,
Well, I do think it's worth noting to whomever is listening that the worker bees are so crucial, especially in independently owned businesses. And there is nothing wrong with being an excellent worker bee because you are contributing to allowing small businesses to remain, you know, in business, right? I don't want to live in a world where I work for an Amazon or, right? I want to work with and for independently owned businesses. So, that being said, I think that a person could potentially shift from worker bee to entrepreneur if their drive and their purpose and their reasoning was strong enough. I believe that we can all evolve into whomever or whatever we'd like to be. And by the same token, an entrepreneur who's been working for themselves for ages can also be tired of the hustle and become an amazing worker bee because they respect the fact that I have a safety net of this income and I don't have to go out there and forge my own way. So I think that we're diverse in that way as humans.
I love that answer. I really do. So right now, what I'm going to do is leave it to you for you to tell us kind of where to go from here. I know that's like this, like almost
Nebulous.
man of yeah. So, because I want people to really understand the importance of what you're saying today. You said a lot of amazing things that will help people. And I just want you to have the floor. I won't ask any more questions. Just tell us what we need to know, where we need to go, and the
Sure.
floor is yours.
So any person can take this any way they want if they want to apply it to their personal life or if they want to apply it to their business life. But something that I've really been reflecting on recently is thinking about who you were and who you are. And who I was does not define who I am. All of the people I've ever been up until today are pieces of me that have led me to where I'm at now. But I am always learning and I am always evolving. And we have the power to become anybody or anything we want. And that is how I'd like to leave it.
Oh, I love it. I felt that. That was powerful. I felt that because it doesn't, and I'll say it another way, it doesn't matter where you start, is how you finish. Oh my goodness. All right. Alexis, thank you so
Thank you.
much. It is a blessing having you here. And I would ask you in maybe months from now, or maybe even weeks, when you're not busy, if you would come back, because people are going to need this even more.
Sure.
You can maybe give them steps in moving that direction if you.
Sure.
Awesome. So
Yeah,
thank
thank you.
you
Thank
so
you so
much.
much for having me. It was my pleasure.
Thank you so much.
Thank you all for joining us today on Passion and Purpose. It's been wonderful to connect with you, and I hope you found our conversation as enlightening and inspiring as I have. A huge thanks to our guests who contributed to the discussion and share their experiences and insights. Your stories are the heartbeat of this podcast, and it's a joy to explore our passions and purpose together. I'm Pamela, reminding you to live with passion and purpose. Until next time, take care and keep reaching for your dreams.